Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Reacting to last night's first round and getting you set for day two of the Fan's virtual draft party later tonight. Presented by Coors Light. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, this means so much for so many more reasons than normal. I mean, it's Friday.
Yes.
So it feels so good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but for all those really hurt Bronco fans, really upset at George Payton, they need this. They need this.
Right. You just need to let it wash over you. You need to, like, I mean, just like the cleansing waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Isn't that what it was?
Was it Minnetonka or Minnetonka?
I don't have any idea. Stuff like that. But you know what? This will just clear. It is clear all.
Go ahead.
Let it breathe, buddy.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. Bittersweet day for some. Now, yeah. You got people like myself who feel pretty good because since October, I've been telling you the best way to go is to continue to build up this roster, bet on Drew Lock to perhaps make a leap in year three, but make sure you have a little bit of competition just to be sure. And apparently George Payton agreed with that because the Broncos, despite having two quarterbacks on the board available for them to choose, passed. So, Mark Schlereth, oh, we got so much to get to, so much. So let's jump right into it. What did you think about the Broncos pick?
I have been on the roster building. If you're not in love with a guy that plays quarterback, you get a generational type player at a cornerstone position, and you know, and the fan base is going to be angry with that. At a position that, let's face it, you've got a couple of rentals in Fuller, you've got a rental in Darby. They can all be gone after 1 year. You cannot have in this division, especially in this division, with Mahomes, with the receiving core that he has, with the Chargers and Herbert and the receiving core he has, you cannot have enough top flight corners in this day and age. So I know that everybody sits there and thinks, gotta get a quarterback. You it's been driven into your mind forever. Got to get it. Top 10 quarterback. Hey, now 3 or 4 years we've had a top 10 pick. Haven't taken a quarterback. I'm just telling you, when you're looking at the totality of a roster and how to build that roster, this becomes very important. So I'm not mad. If you're not in love with one of the quarterbacks that was available, there were two, Fields and Mac Jones. If you're not in love, you move on. You move past. And let's face it, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I know that the Green Bay Packers say, we don't want to move him. Of course they're saying they don't want to move him. Of course they'd like to work it out. Of course they would like to take it, you know, to make it all work. But Aaron Rodgers in the driver's seat, man. Players now are more empowered than they've ever been. He is unhappy. And this isn't just happening overnight. This has been going on for three, four years. And it's just the whole love. What's the kid's name? Jordan Love. The whole drafting of Jordan Love, not telling Aaron Rodgers about it, not telling him what they were doing, not getting him another weapon on the offensive side of the ball. He is sick about it. He lost a center who was a big time player and a big time friend. He's disgusted with him. He's done.
Okay, let's get to that. For those of you who, well, why don't you summarize kind of what went down starting at about, what was it, about 4 o'clock or so?
Yeah, 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I just got a random text from call it a source, somebody that I trust. Somebody I trust, you know, literally.
Not locally.
Not in Denver and not Aaron Rodgers. Somebody that I trust that said, hey man, this thing is close to a done deal. He is going to Denver. And you know, obviously it cooled a little bit. It didn't happen. Now, I think Green Bay is trying to salvage the relationship. But with that said, Mike, the other thing is if they traded him right now, I think there's a $5 million savings on the cap. If they trade him after June 1st, there's a $22, $23 million savings on Green Bay's cap. So it's not dead. And you talk to anybody, even though their GM says, hey, man, I'm not trading Aaron Rodgers. Anybody who, from Adam Schefter to Mortensen to Lewis Riddick, everybody is saying it looks like this is not a salvageable relationship.
Oh, and by the way, the Packers go out in their first round pick and select a corner.
Right.
Not exactly the kind of olive branch if you're really, really, really trying or believe that you can make it work with Rodgers. So the best part of all this. So last night we're doing our draft coverage. Everybody, cast of thousands. And as Mike Kliss is coming out and other people are saying, oh, there's nothing to it. And even our own guys are starting to question you. You drop this hammer. Go ahead.
Well, Aaron Rodgers texts me. So, I mean, I'm not lying.
Buddy of mine goes, that might be one of the biggest flexes of all time. So, Aaron Rodgers just texted me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I told you that Aaron and I have had a relationship for a long time. Since he walked in the league, since he was a rookie. And anyhow, long story short, I mean, we have stayed connected over all this time. And we connect, you know, not often, but every now and again. And so he texted me. He's just like, who told you this in Denver? I said, it wasn't a Denver source. And I said, but hey, listen, man, let me know. Like, what's going on? And he goes, as soon as I know, you will know. But he didn't say it wasn't happening.
He didn't pour cold water on
it. No. He goes, as soon as I know, you'll know. So,
which is, I would think, I would hope that for all the people who are angry this morning, look at still the options, the flexibility George Payton has here. Just kind of follow this thread. In the meantime, in the short term, you can see if Drew Lock does make a jump. You have that opportunity to do that. All the while, still leaving yourself in prime position to make a run at either Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, assuming his legal issues are resolved, and both quarterbacks reportedly have expressed an interest in Denver. So if you're George Payton, you did the right thing in not picking a quarterback yesterday. Because if you had taken a quarterback, you kind of would have boxed yourself in. Now you go get a chance to get a really good player in Sertan. You take one more last gamble on Lock, and all the while knowing that the moment that a Rodgers and or a Watson become available, you are in prime position to pounce.
I would just say this. all the local guys who cover the Broncos essentially said, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I've heard over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, is that they're not moving up for a quarterback, but if Fields fell to them, they would take him. Is that not what I think?
Oh, yeah.
I think Kliss said it. I think said it. I think everybody has said that exact same thing. Fields was there. Mac Jones was there. Is there anything, regardless of what the Broncos are saying, hey, we're not, you know, we haven't reached out or whatever. They hadn't reached out to, I mean, that's the standard operating procedure, right? Just like Kyle Shanahan said, we like five quarterbacks. And then he said last night, there was one guy from the start. It was Trey Lance. That's why we moved up to three. Like, come on now. You really think he liked five quarterbacks? But the bottom line is this, Mike, as we hit the break, is that if there were talks and you think that that's a viable option, Aaron Rodgers, you're going to buy, even though the local guy said, if he's there, if Justin Fields is there, they will take him. You pass on them. Is that an indicator that at least they've had talks and at least they feel good about where they are? I don't know.
We'll get your reaction. RamosLaw.com text line is open, 303-713-1043. As we get your reaction to what went down last night. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
We got a little combo thing, a little Is It Just Me Friday. You want to get some hot sports opinions off your chest, a lot of stuff about the draft. Hit us up, RamosLive.com, text line 303-713-1043. Also, just your thoughts on what went down yesterday. I'll give George Payton a lot of credit. That took...
onions.
That took onions.
Yeah.
Double order.
Yeah.
Because... you know, what did I say? I said if he gets to number nine and there's a, I thought a quarterback, I didn't think both.
Uh-huh.
If there's a quarterback there and he passes on him, the honeymoon could be over immediately. And based on the reaction I saw last night and already getting this morning.
Oh, yeah.
For many of you, the honeymoon with George Payton is over.
By the way, speaking of I told you so island, you even thought there's no way they could pass him up if he's there.
I didn't think he'd have the guts, honestly.
And I told you, yes, he will have the guts. Yes, he will. Again, and I think this is the right move if you don't fall in love with a guy. Honestly. And you realize you've got a lot of work to do, and you're not, like, you have a lot of work to do, but you're absolutely in love with the dude, take him. You've got a lot of work to do, and you're not sure. You have questions. You don't like some of the things you see on tape, whatever. And again, you can't go wrong on picking kind of a quote unquote cornerstone player that could be a generational type guy. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but I'm telling you, if you're not sold, completely sold on a dude, then that's what you got to do.
Do you think Patrick Surtain can come in and play right away? Can he beat out Ronald Darby?
I don't know that he beats out Ronald Darby. I don't know. Like, I don't know. He may start right away. Who knows where he'll be? If he'll play nickel, if he'll play outside and you move somebody inside. All I know, he'll come in and play right away because you need corners. You need multiple corners. In this league, man, you got to play. You got to play nickel. You got to play dime. You got to play penny. Seven DBs. So, like, you got to play them all. So, will he play right? Absolutely, he'll play right away. I don't know if he'll start or not, but it doesn't really, again, that's become one of those positions that doesn't really matter. You know, like, they start, like, when you mix up the lineups, say, here's the starting lineup. You know, we'll throw a nickel guy in there, sometimes a dime guy. We'll have 12, 15 guys listed. You know, all these guys play. It's almost become interchangeable or, you know, gelatinous when you're talking about rosters and who starts and who doesn't start. Depends on, hey, man, if they play a lot of base, we start this. If they play a lot of nickel, we start this. If they play, you know, I mean, that's kind of how defenses match up. So.
I'm just happy they didn't take a quarterback because I just, you know how I feel. I just think that. Overdrafting for quarterbacks in the first round is a mistake, especially in the top 10. Facts bear that out. But so I just wanted them to take, as you called it, a football player. And
right.
So I'm not upset at all with the Surtain pick. I still would have preferred the linebacker. Micah Parsons went to, was it Dallas right after that? I would have preferred Parsons. Cause as you were talking about it, you tend to think of shutting down high-powered offenses with a pass rush or with really good DBs.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you made a very good breakdown of what Tampa did to Patrick Mahomes and how so much of it stemmed from what they were getting from their linebackers.
Yeah, and well, when Levante David was in man coverage, which he was, and let me tell you, I mean, Travis Kelce had a lot of catches in that game. Probably he had over 100 yards receiving, I believe. He probably had like 10, 12 catches for 130 yards or something. But most of those were what they were giving him. You understand what I'm saying? It's third down and nine, and they're giving him an 8-yard catch.
Yeah, we'll let the clock keep moving.
Yeah. And so a lot of that stuff.
10 catches for 133 yards.
Okay, 10 for 133. When they were in man, though, Levante David shut him down. Most of those were in zone. And they were in situations, long yardage situations, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were flying out with their linebackers, creating a big space underneath. And
that's kind of how he got the majority of his yards. And, you know, sometimes trading clock for first downs or completions, that's what was going on. And so a lot of those yards that they gave were basically say, here's what we'll give you as a defense. Here's what we're willing to give up, but you're not beating us over the top. And there was a hell of a lot more zone played in that game against Kansas City in the Super Bowl than Tampa was used to playing. They didn't play nearly as much. They played a whole lot more man during the regular season.
Some texts. My God, Evans, you are so short-sighted. These corners are on one-year deals. Plus, we always have significant injuries. I'm not – whoa, easy there, Texter. I don't have any problem with the move. I would have preferred Micah Parsons, but I'm quite content, trust me, with Patrick Surtain. I just didn't want it to be a quarterback. So, no, don't mistake me. I like it. DJ and Firestone, honeymoon is over. Rodgers or run Peyton out of town. Dude's going to be looking over his shoulder, hoping the Bears and Fields missed. Unbelievably tone-deaf organization if they can't land Rodgers. By the way, that Chicago move, boy, does that reek of desperation. What was one of the things I said about why we see so many quarterbacks get drafted so high? Because it buys GMs and coaches job security. And Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I mean, squarely on the hot seat. And what they've effectively done by perhaps mortgaging Chicago's future is they bought themselves some more job security. Good for them. But if Fields doesn't work out, the kind of selfish move that'll set a franchise back years just because you had two guys trying to save their own hide.
Unless, of course, you feel like Fields is that good. But you're right about one thing. The drafting of, and we saw it, we saw the narrative, Mike, that is out there nationally. We saw the narrative take place in front of our eyes. And what is that narrative? You draft quarterbacks or you draft wide receivers and you draft hope, excitement. And I think one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen is the Bengals.
I was just thinking the same thing. Bengals being Bengals.
Right. There's a reason that, you know, teams like the Bengals, like we used to say when I was playing, when I came in the league, well, we used to say it all the time. There's, you know, several certainties in life. Death, taxes, and you can beat the Bengals. They're going to be a talented group because they always draft them. You know, they're always drafting in the first round, top 10. But they don't know what they're doing. And that's just further proof. Your quarterback, you had two receivers, second round receivers that got 1,000 yards last year. And your owner goes, let me get another weapon. And your court, meanwhile, they're sewing your quarterback's leg back on after it was amputated during a game. I mean, literally. There was somebody in the league, a GM in the league that I read. The one guy he said that's got Hall of Fame potential in this whole draft class. One guy that I think ends up in the Hall of Fame, Penei Sewell.
Really?
Yep. One guy in this draft class that's got Hall of Fame potential.
JD and Firestone, is it just me or a lot of listeners happy that the QB draft debate is over now that GP drafted a football player? Probably happy that the debate's over. But not happy with the quarterback direction they're going in.
I don't think the debate's over. Wow. Little D-Mac is planting his flag.
Oh, my goodness. He was...
Oh, little D-Mac.
Man. I like it.
There were some memorable moments with him last night. Memorable moments. We're working on something.
We need to get that old little D-Mac.
We're working on something special for you that we think you'll like. Okay, Morning Brew coming up next.
And I want you to be my acrobat.
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
With the ninth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr., defensive back, Alabama.
And then D-Mac's head exploded. I know he and I have had our battles, but he was so happy when Carolina did not pick Fields. He started celebrating. He starts celebrating. He's like, it's going to happen. He says, I'm shaking right now. I'm so excited. And then he was so deflated that I really wanted to give him a hug. I wanted to give him a hug.
Right? Oh, little demon. And I want you to be my quarterback.
Oh, man. The guy was crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed.
Poor little fella. Somebody, can we send somebody to check on him? Who checks on? When we've got an issue, do we have a checker on our guy?
Well, then, and now I got Millennial Ben walking around, literally muttering to himself, going, "Oh, George Payton blew it. George Payton blew it. Great. Okay, so Patrick Surtain is going to stop, you know, one pass. Great. So Patrick Mahomes is going to be 25 of 38 instead of 25 of 37. You know." Or whatever it is, the math works out.
You still have 25 completions, you got to go to 24.
He'll be 26, 25 of 37 instead of 26 of 38.
Yeah.
Something like that. Get the point.
Something like that, Mike. Yeah, send Richie over to check on D-Mac, please. Poor little fella.
Do you like the pick?
Do I like the pick? Yeah, hell yeah. I like good football players at cornerstone positions. Absolutely. Do I know how this league operates right now and how good your secondary needs to be to stop the passing games of the NFL? Absolutely.
We'll look at a day two in just a second. Next on the Morning Brew.
As we go down this road, I think I think you got to keep in mind, how much we want Aaron to be here and how important he is to our organization. So I think, like I said, I'm optimistic and we'll see how it unfolds.
Ryan Gutekunst. General manager of the Packers. Yeah, he says, I do think he'll play for us again. Nobody seems to believe that.
Yeah.
Look, it's probably a matter of when, not if, Aaron Rodgers gets traded. And look, for all the people who are upset that the Broncos didn't take Justin Fields, I'll ask you a simple question. When you were hearing the reports about Aaron Rodgers coming here, at that point, who really wanted Justin Fields or Trey Lance? It was all about the prospects of getting Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
And look, the Broncos are still in position A to be able to go aggressively and get an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson if Watson's legal issues are resolved. And here's the other thing to feel really good about if you're a Broncos fan. These two guys both have Denver on their short list, reportedly.
Yeah.
And the Broncos, reportedly, are very interested. I don't know about you.
I like you a lot.
I'd much rather have Aaron Rodgers than Justin Fields.
Listen,
anybody disagree with me?
Aaron Rodgers puts you neck and neck as far as quarterbacks are concerned. He was last year's MVP with Patrick Mahomes. Come on now.
Look at it this way. Come on. Just everybody take a deep breath. Look at still what's ahead of the Broncos here when it comes to the quarterback position. You give Drew Lock a chance to see if he can make the jump in year three. If he doesn't, then you're still in position for when Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson eventually get traded. And all that fails. Guess what? 1 year from now, there'll be a whole new crop of shiny, can't-miss quarterbacks that'll be overhyped and overdrafted when it comes draft time.
Yeah, that's just the way it works. The way it works. So build your football team. Keep yourself open in the conversation if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers, does become available. And, of course, the Green Bay Packers are going to say, we're going to do everything in our power to keep him. But in this day and age of the National Football League, the players are understanding they have power. And they can force their hand. If they want to force their hand, they're going to force their hand. And we have seen it with Ramsey. We have seen it, we have seen it with several different guys. Le'Veon Bell, we've seen it. We've seen it. Jamal Adams. I mean, we have seen this game play out, right?
Next on the Morning Brew.
Before Vic and I came out here, we just sat with the scouts, and we really like our board, you know, for our second pick. We're picking eighth in the round, I believe, and there's eight players we really like. So we're going to get a good player tomorrow.
Millennial Ben is not happy with George Payton right now.
No, he is not.
The honeymoon is over. Over.
Mm-hmm.
Never got out of the starting blocks. Over.
Wow. That aggravates the stew out of me.
Yeah. Millennial Ben said, hey, it's not me, it's you. I do not like the way you're going right now.
I can't help but notice that one of the linebackers I like, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, is still out there.
J-O-K.
Jeremiah. Yes. Right.
Joke.
We'd have another joker in town.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
What do you think the Broncos, what would be your priority in round two? Give me a position.
Hey, if you got a middle linebacker that can flat run, that would be a great pickup. Like a guy that has that skill set, that is good in coverage underneath, that really can cover ground and be a sideline to sideline guy, that would be a tremendous pickup.
Next on the Morning Brew.
What I loved about it was even when the ball found somebody, we had a multiple effort mentality. We were flying around, making multiple effort plays. So, and I ran them the whole time because they deserved that opportunity with how well they were playing. So really, really proud of those guys, you know, to close out this little homestand before we go to L.A. That was a big win for us.
It was a big win for Michael Malone's team, who has a four-game homestand in which they won all four. It was, what, four games in, let me see if I got the math here, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, four games in six nights, and they won all four of them. And don't look now, but they are tied in the all-important loss column.
Oh.
I love that the loss column is playing a role again.
Yes.
Tied in the all-important loss column with the Clippers. What do you know? They got a big game in L.A. against the Clippers tomorrow night, but here's the significance of that. Finish third, you get Dallas or Portland in the first round of the playoffs. Finish fourth, you get the Lakers. Even with all the Laker issues that they have and injuries, probably a team you'd like to avoid.
Correct.
Rather take my chances with Dallas or Portland. So that's...
I would agree.
Some of the importance of what's coming up. And then they play the Lakers on Monday. So they got an L.A. swing Saturday and Monday. You boys behave while you're in L.A. Those trips to L.A. don't always go very well. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Cecil Lammy joins us as he recovered from the shock of George Payton passing on Justin Fields. That's next. Cecil Lammy probably working on about, what are we looking at, Cecil? Maybe 4 hours?
That sounds about right. Yeah. I was up writing my latest for DenverFan.com talking about the leftovers from day one. And there's actually, I identified seven players that should have and could have been first round picks that worked. So yeah, I've been about 4 hours. I'm feeling good though.
Give us some insight. Where do the Broncos go on day two here?
Yeah, and day two, there's a couple of different ways that they could go. And honestly, one might shock some people, and one people will probably nod their heads with. One is safety. Trevon Moehrig fell out of the first round. The kid from TCU, he's very versatile, can play both safety spots. And he was a player that I identified for the Baltimore Ravens there at the end of the first round that they might go with. And you know, it sounds like a pretty good connection. He's still available. You're at pick number 40. There's a chance that he could be there. The other player that I identified, of the seven that I identified as first rounders that fell to the second round, is Javonte Williams. He's my favorite running back in this draft class. Listen, Najee Harris, he's fine. Obviously huge. Worked well as a receiver this year, going to Pittsburgh, obviously. But I think his longest run was like 40 yards. That's about it. When I look at Javonte Williams, he had 75 broken tackles last year, clearly leading all backs in the FBS. And I think of Melvin Gordon. I think, okay, he's average. Maybe even a little below average. Honestly, I'm not really impressed by Melvin Gordon. I know, there's no competition. Maybe he'll be better this year. Yeah, that's fine. But he's here for a year. You got to think about the future at that position. Royce Freeman is here for a year. He's got no confidence. Like, you don't want that guy out there. So Javonte Williams, a running back here on day two, I think would be a good call for the Denver Broncos.
What about Koromoa, the linebacker, or can you even call him a linebacker from Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to pick Stink's brain about this because it kind of goes back to our people scared off from Isaiah Simmons, right? Because Vance Joseph wasn't able to get a whole lot out of him. And you look at Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa, he's a safety, basically. I know that he's got an LB next to his name, but that's how he is. But he's very versatile. He's got the coverage ability. There is no doubt. And while he's not a thumper, you don't need a thumper. That's what I wrote in my article that's out this morning at DenverFan.com. Like, you don't need a thumper. You have a thumper in my buddy Alexander Johnson. Like, that's what he does. Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa would be the coverage guy. So you take Alexander off the field. You'd have JOK out there. I think he's a versatile chess piece. He's a player that'll probably go off pretty quickly. I was very surprised a team like the Colts didn't take him off the board.
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, just from a standard or put out there, I think one of the hard things for a guy that's a safety, you know, you're going to be playing outside in the nickel, right? So you got to play outside linebacker. You got to be able to, you know, defend the edge. You got to be able to be at least, you know, big enough or strong enough and technique enough to, you know, like attack the outside arm free, attack the inside shoulder, that type of stuff.
Right.
But then it really becomes the challenge becomes coverage, especially in zone out there, how you're taking that edge as a nickel defender, how you're, you know, super buzzing out or buzzing out that curl flat area. That's where NFL teams, you know, that's where they attack people with snag routes and everything else. And so I think there's a transition there that's hard when you've either played, you're a lighter linebacker trying to play that position, or you're a safety that has been in the middle of the field and now you're trying to come down and play that position.
Right.
But I happen to believe, Cecil, I happen to believe it's one of the most important positions in football right now.
Yes, yeah, and that's the reason why when you think about it, you go, wait a second, no safeties went off the board. I talked about Morig there, and if JOK's a safety, it's like, well, it's so important because safeties are getting paid now, right? That's something I always make fun of Nick Ferguson about. I was like, sorry, Nick, when you were playing, safeties didn't get paid. Now they're getting paid in a big way, and it was kind of shocking that those two players fell to here we are at day two.
Now that you've had a few hours to sleep on it, the Surtain pick.
I mean, I feel bad for him because people are obviously blasting this pick. Broncos country is not happy right now. I really like him. I like the player. The pick is interesting. You could have gone in multiple different directions that we'll all hash over for years and years and years. But for him, just as a player, you have smarts, you have toughness, you have tackling ability. You don't have speed. Okay. People say, well, what's your knock on it? Well, he's not fast. All right, but you have a heady player, you know, great instincts for the position, keeps his eyes on the quarterback, doesn't bite, though, when we're talking about play fakes or pump fakes, and I actually think he could start this year. You know, Ronald Darby would be the guy I'd target and say, okay, is it Fuller? Is it Surtain? Callahan as the slot? I could see that. Plus, you have the injury concerns. You know, Fuller has been great when he's healthy. Got to stay healthy. You know, Callahan, fine, maybe the best slot corner in the league when he's healthy. He's rarely healthy. So you have some options there in the defensive backfield. Again, a very interesting pick based on everything that we were identifying yesterday, but still a good player, rock solid, kind of a safe pick. So if you want to kind of bag on that, it's like, well, you gotta play big to win big. And the Broncos seem to go very safe last night.
And let me ask you really quick, is there a offensive lineman that you would see here as a potential, maybe
yes,
today or tomorrow, whatever the case may be, that would help? You know, because I look at it like, we don't know Juwan James. Can you play tackle? Can you move into guard? Could you move Glasgow to center if you wanted to? Like, that gives you versatility. Is there a guy like that?
Yeah, there is a guy like that. And actually, it's the first guy that I listed on my article at DenverFan.com. And that's Tevin Jenkins, the kid from Oklahoma State. That is a player that I actually thought the Raiders were going to get him. I thought it was a little bit of a stretch for Leatherwood, although I thought he'd probably go in the later parts of the first round. But you have a guy who didn't allow a sack as a junior or a senior. And he's known as one of the smartest players at his position. He's a wide body road grader. Okay. So give me that right tackle. That's a wide body road grader and a guy that can go out there and move people. Plus, like I said, Didn't allow a sack in 2 years. Sounds about right to me. I'm actually surprised Tevin Jenkins, a tackle from Oklahoma State, did not make it in day one. So if you're the Broncos, you can identify him as a player you want, too.
Last one, Cecil. Unless the Broncos trade for Aaron Rodgers or a legally cleared Deshaun Watson, will the Broncos rue the day they passed on Justin Fields?
Yeah, they will. You're in danger of having another Josh Allen situation, okay? That's what you're in danger of. The two options that you have at quarterback right now are not good enough to compete in your division. I know, win with defense, and it's 14-10. And Sean Drotar had some great numbers last night. The teams that made the playoffs in the AFC averaged 28.6 points per game. You're not dropping them to 14. Sorry. I don't care how great your defense is. If you really want to compete in this conference, in this division, you've got to have a real quarterback. Not a, he's average and he's okay and we got it. Like, no. None of that works in today's NFL. Stop trying to be that way. Go out there, get a real, star, superstar quarterback, and with your great defense, and then imagine what you could be.
All right, Cecil, gear up. We'll talk to you a little bit later on, and I'll be on with you and Nick tomorrow morning. So this is a big weekend. Buckle up. Get your rest.
All right. Be good, fellas.
There he is, Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Okay, reaction pouring in. We'll get to it, including several texts that all center around one theme, guaranteed to tick you off.
Nice.
All right. I might do a little wedge driving.
Come get a taste.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We'll do it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.